Awesome. Well, if you weren't here at the start, my name is Caitlin, one of the team here, and I'm so excited, and it's my privilege to share this morning. And, you know, we had a particular direction that we were going to, you know, do this meeting, and, you know, had a sermon that I was preparing to speak on. You know, it's a good one, and God willing, I will share it one day. I've said that a few times, and I've never come back to those sermons. But God did something this weekend in our family, and there was just such a surge of faith in our spirits, and such a, we felt God was just sending us in as a church for a season and direction. And myself and my mum, Pastor Christine, who with my dad, Pastor Peter, is the senior pastors of our church. Can we honour them? They are, you know, you might hear this at other churches, but it's not true. We're blessed with the best pastors at our church. In our church, they are the very best pastors for Breakthrough, and they lead us with the most amazing faith and vision and compassion and love, and we're so blessed for that. And, you know, I was talking to my mom, and we just felt, let's just flow with what God's doing. So this sermon might not be a pretty neat, here's 1, 2, 3 points, but we're just going to flow with it. And church, can you work with me? If there's hunger in the room, let's just see what God wants to do. Let's see where this goes. And then I believe we're going to have time of ministry at the end, and we'll have our offering at the end of the meeting. But I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to get into today. So thank you, Lord. I just thank you, God, for the honor it is to speak today. I thank you, Lord, for our amazing church family. I thank you, God, for every person here, every person joining online, Lord, every person, Lord, that is connected to Breakthrough. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you're working in our lives. I thank you that you're a miracle worker. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are working miracles in the lives of our church family and Breakthrough. You're working miracles in this community. I thank you that our best days are still ahead, and the things you have before us are greater than anything we've even seen in our past. I thank you, Lord, that we are hungry for everything that you've called us to do and be in this region, and you have equipped us to step out and be everything that we are called to be. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Well, church, today we're talking about miracles. A miracle-working God. Amen. We're talking about miracles in the house today. I'm going to go into the story a little bit later on in the next week. They're actually going to come and share. But this week, like I said earlier, my dad, Pastor Peter, my brother Jay, and Josh, one of our great friends, who Josh and Jay, part of the leadership team as well, they've gone up to Sydney for a conference. They're going to Bethel to see Pastor Chris Vallotton speak. They're going up there. They drove up there, had a great time. Then something happened on Saturday where they were out hiking. And there was an accident that should have ended very differently than it did with Jay. But thank you, Jesus. God did a miracle. God did a miracle. And we're going to talk about that later on. But as we were praying for him, there has been such a surge in our hearts for what God wants to do. And we really believe that God is calling and is leading us into a season of miracles. And that this is a season of miracles, not only for this church, but for this region, for the families represented here, that God is leading us into a season of miracles. You know, and as I was preparing, there's something that's been a question that's been going in my heart for such a long time, first over the last several months. Does God still do miracles today? Yeah, amen. Does God still do miracles today? And you know, you can hear that come up. You can hear that question. And I was challenged with this question a few months ago where I was speaking to somebody not connected to Breakthrough, but I was speaking to someone who was a Christian, and they said, you know what? We've come to realize that God didn't do miracles in Bible times, but it's not his will to do miracles today. And there was just miracles were just for a season. They were for a season, you know, the times of the Bible, but they're not called for today because we're not seeing them as much today. We don't see the same miracles that Jesus did in the Bible. We're not seeing them today. So they said, you know, that must mean that miracles were just for that season, but they're not for today. Yeah, I like that Breakthrough is immediate, like, no, let's get that out. But it really challenged me, and when sometimes things say you just move on, but then that just really like hooked in me, and I was like, Lord, that's not true. But then why aren't we seeing some of the miracles that we saw in Bible times? And I started just praying and saying, Lord, show me in your word what, you know, are miracles for today? You know, are miracles for today? And yes, They are for today in the name of Jesus. Miracles are for today, I believe, more so now than they ever have been before. And God's Jesus said that the greater work, the works that you've done, now go and do greater. You know, the miracles that we saw in the Bible should have been the start, the starting point for the things that God wants to do in the world today. We should be just going higher and higher and seeing what God is doing until Jesus comes again. But it rocked me a bit. And as I was praying, you know, I started going through this, well, are miracles for today? And I started looking at the Bible. And it's like, you can't go just about one chapter in the Bible, Old Testament or New, without seeing a miracle, without seeing God do something miraculous. And I'm like, well, God, if this is the roadmap, why'd you give us a roadmap full of things that we're not meant to use? And the Bible is full of miracles. And the more you start to look at it, the more you start to look into it, it's like literally there is miracle after miracle after miracle. There are stories that we tell ourselves so often that are told in Sunday school, you know, that are told even, you know, outside of the church setting. And they almost just become like, you become numb to the miraculous power of them. Things like the parting of the Red Sea, or things like, you know, Jonah in the belly of the whale, or things like, you know, Noah's Ark. There are things that you hear that you almost become numb to what the miraculous miracle that they really are. I'm like, a sea being parted. I'm like, that's amazing. You know, somebody in the belly of a whale, like that's phenomenal. You know, blind eyes being opened. The things, you know, 5,000 people being fed with just a few pieces of loaves and fishes. It's like when you start to actually read and see, and you don't, like, you might have read it before and you don't just become numb to what it is. You see, there is miracle after miracle. And you say, well, if that's the heart of God, that's your heart for me today. That's the heart of God. That's your heart for me today. You know, what is a miracle? Definition of a miracle: an extraordinary and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore attributed to a divine agency. An extraordinary event that is not explicable, cannot be explained by natural or scientific laws. So therefore, attributed to the only explanation is something of a divine nature has stepped in, because this goes outside the boundaries and the laws of how our world works. A miracle goes outside the laws of science. A miracle goes outside the natural laws. You know, a miracle steps outside of that into a realm that sits above it and says, this can't be explained by how our world works, because it is has a divine nature that steps over how things work in the natural. And you know, I've got, so we're just going to go through and say today, miracles for today. And we're just going to start looking at some of the things in the Bible, some of the principles that surround miracles, and start building our faith for what God wants to do. I want this morning, I want your vision, I want your faith, I want your expectancy to rise, to say, Lord, have I been taking a back seat, and what have you got for me? And I want to start expecting to see you to move in my life. Amen. You know, I've got a lot of theories as to why in our Western culture we don't see as many miracles today. You know, I'm not going to go into all the different theories that I might have as to some of the reasons that we haven't seen as many miracles today. But one thing is, I believe that we are in such a self-glorifying culture, that our culture is so obsessed with self-righteousness. You know, I'm talking outside of the church and in general in the world. The culture today is so self-righteous. It's so self-glorifying. We are the master and Lord over our life. We decide what is truth. You know, a culture that is so closed off to the supernatural realm, a culture that is very skeptical. But it's such a self-glorifying, a culture that I believe is so in love with one's own self. You know, and that's prophesied through the Bible, that will be more and more. You know, we'll become lovers of our own selves. And I think, you know what, one of the most amazing things about miracles is it gives no room for glory of oneself. There's no room for me to be glorified when God's done a miracle, because everything points back to Him. Amen. Amen. You know, in Exodus 14, you can turn with me if you've got your Bibles there. We'll start with Exodus 13. So this is the story. You know, God's people have been, you know, held captive by Pharaoh. They've been, you know, held captive for years, such a long time. And then God is setting them free. He sent Moses to come to bring them out. And in chapter 13, verse 17, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said if people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. So these people who have been kept captive, Pharaoh has said, go, you'll go. Go, and they're going to go to their promised land, this promised land that has been prophesied. They've, for generations, they've talked about this promised land that God has taken them to. They're free, and a natural leader, a warrior leader would say, okay, let's map out our path. There's a shortest route. There's a route that makes sense. As round, it's on land. It makes sense. It's on, solid ground. We're going to take that route to go to the promised land. But then God spoke to their leader, Moses, and said, you're not going to go that way. I'm going to lead you straight to a dead end. An end that is, I'm going to lead you straight to a place where you're just literally going to come up to the Red Sea and that, the promised land's on the other side. But you're going to come, this is the path I'm leading you. On paper, that makes no sense. If you're a leader of an army, that is a terrible strategy. If we're in war and the leader of the army said, I see this path around on land. No, we're going to go to that dead end where we can't do anything other than stand up against the water and we're just stuck there. That's a terrible leadership strategy. That's not taught in any leadership seminar I've been to. But God said, I'm not going to take you on the main road. I'm going to take you, He led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness to the Red Sea. I'm just going to jump down and read out a few verses. In chapter 14, it says in verse 4, and once again, I'm a hardened Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I've planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. So they're there. They've come there. They come to the Red Sea. They are just sitting ducks for their enemy to come behind them and have victory over them. They've got nowhere to go other than God led them to this path and God led them to this way. Can you imagine Moses being told by thousands of people, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why have you led us here? And they come to that part. And then chapter 14, verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Can I just say that? So why are you crying out to me? You've just brought your whole people and there's a dead end. And God's like, why are you crying out? Come on, get moving. Get moving. I've told you there's a way. Get ready. Get moving. I've led you here. Where's your faith? Come on. Get moving. He said, get moving. So he said, pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Jump down to verse 22. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's pretty amazing. And then if you keep reading through, once they got through, the Egyptians came through, God turned them on themselves, the waters came down and their enemy was completely destroyed and they had the complete victory as they walked through. That's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. I love that part. He comes to it and God says, raise your path, raise your staff so that people can walk through the water. Can you imagine being Moses? What situation do you come up to in your life right now and you're coming up and it looks like a dead end? And God said, I've told you there's a path through. And he says something miraculous. Do we believe him? And we say, God, that seems a little bit crazy. That's impossible. He said, come on, lift your staff. The waters are going to part. Make a pathway through. He said, I'm going to bring you to the other side. You know what I love about this story? I don't look at this and say, wow, Moses is a great leader. You know what? Yes, he had faith and I respect, his faith in God and his leadership and his part in this story. But I don't think that, whoa, what a clever leader. What a clever leader. That sneaky leader, he took them through the water. I didn't see that coming. That was a sneaky move on Moses' behalf. No, I say, God is awesome. I say, God is amazing. God is above the natural laws. God is above the seas and the world. God is amazing. I look at that and say, there is no explanation other than God worked. Thank God worked. You know, the story of Jericho, our pastor's been preaching on it. When they go, again, not a great tactic if you're a leader, if you're an army leader. Just go and march around the walls. Go show yourself, and we're here, and we're not even aiming our weapons at you. We're just here sitting ducks walking around your wall. You know, you can take a shot at us. You can do anything. We're just walking around your wall. But then the walls come tumbling down. And again, I don't say, wow, that was a great work on the people's behalf. I say, despite their mumbling and complaining, God did a miracle and God worked. There is no explanation other than God stepped in. You can't reason away. You can't reason away a wall tumbling down. You can't explain away how that wall tumbled. You can't explain away how the waters came up and a whole group of people stayed up for enough time that a whole people group walked through. And then at just the right time, they came crashing down on the people that weren't of God. You can't explain that away other than God is above this and God is a miracle worker and God has the final say and God is more powerful than anything in this earth. You can't explain that away. But you know what you can't also do? You can't glorify the people in that situation. You can't give them glory. So in miracles, we have to be willing not to have the glory. You know, I was thinking that, I don't know about you, but when it comes to movies and TV shows, Brooke's, my sister Brooke is like, finally, someone is catching on. If you haven't heard my sister preach, she's an amazing preacher. She is a God-anointed preacher, and she has a great passion for movies, and she's led us through things called Movie Sundays, where she teaches us concept of movies and brings, you know, God. It's just amazing. Just YouTube, Movie Sunday, Brooke Lewis, and you'll be blessed. Amazing. But yes, so when it comes to movies and TV shows, I'm a sucker for someone. I love a good spy movie. Now, when I say a good spy movie, what I mean is low violence, low gore, low, you know, confronting things, just really good cleverness and wits is what I'm looking for in a spy movie. You know, nothing scary, just really clever spy work where they outsmart everybody. You know, I love those. We're watching a TV show at the moment where it's about these FBI guys and they're so clever and they're bringing down these, you know, bad guys, and it's all about bad guys who, you know, those people who have been, you know, everyone knows they're the, you know, the bad guy above everything, but they can't get caught because they're always clean and there's no evidence against them. So everyone knows they're the bad guy, but they can't ever get caught. And it's how these guys outsmart them and they outwit them and they, you know, work it out. And it's like when you think they're being outsmarted, oh no, they're actually outsmarting them. And it's so clever. Who loves a good twist in like a spy movie where you're like, and you think the good guy has been outsmarted and then you realize that's been their plan all along and in comes around and it's like, oh, they're so clever. You know what? And you think, wow, clever, and I love watching that. But there's no room for that in miracles. There's no room for, oh, you're so clever. You're so witty. You did that. There's no room for that in miracles. I think there's a part of human nature, without Jesus, there's a part of human nature that craves that, that craves being that clever one, that craves being the one that everyone goes, oh, you clever person, you got us here. You're so clever. How'd you figure that out? You were amazing. How'd you do that? You smashed that. You're a boss. How'd you do that? You know, there's a part of human nature that craves that. It feels good when you're at work and someone comes in and goes, you did a great job. And you're like, oh, well, yeah. I did a good job, guys. You know, there's a part of human nature that wants that recognition, wants to be clever, wants to figure it out. And that's not wrong. It's not wrong to, you know, be clever. It's not wrong to be intelligent. It's not wrong for any of those things. It's good to be wise. But when it comes to miracles, there's no room for self-glorification. There's no room for credit for you. So if you've got a battle of saying, oh, Lord, I want your miracle power, but then when everyone around, when you get the miracle and everyone around starts just talking about Jesus and doesn't recognize your part in the story, and you're like, yes, praise God, I was part of this story too. You know, like was there Moses going, yes, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I held that staff up big, didn't I? Oh, that was a good, that was a long time. I was tired. Oh, but my faith got me through. My faith got me, I kept my arms up even though I was tired. Oh, that was hard. But we got there. Oh, it was a long night. But I didn't give up. I didn't give up. Oh, I got through. Now, yes, We have a part to play. Our faith has a part to play, you know, and how we respond, our attitude, our prayer has a part to play. But when we're praying, if we're praying for miracles, there's no part for our credit. It gives all the glory to God. It can't be explained by how I did it. It can't be explained by how witty I was. It can't be explained by, oh, I was so clever to take this route. It can only be explained by, oh, God, you are awesome. That was not me. That was God. And there was no other explanation than God stepped in. So church, if we're believing for miracles, we have to say, are we ready for God to have all the glory? Are we ready for God to have all the glory? Are we ready for every, are you willing for God to be given all the glory for your miracle? You know, and I know we are at Breakthrough. I know that, you know, those listening in, those joining in, we're ready. We are hungry. But that's counterculture. That's counterculture to be able to say, hey, this actually was nothing to do with me. This was all God. That he is miracle working power in our life. So we're saying miracles are for today, but to see them, we need to be willing for God to be given all the glory. So church, God does miracles today. He is a miracle working God. It's his nature. You know, we don't, and I believe we don't chase the miracles. We chase Jesus. And as we chase Jesus, miracles come. We don't chase miracles, but we expect miracles. I expect miracles. I don't chase after it, but I expect them. Because when I know my God, and as I'm chasing after him, I know that my God wants miracles in my life. He wants his glory to be manifested in this community through me and in me. So I'm expecting the miraculous. I'm expecting miracles when I'm chasing after God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, why does God do miracles? There's lots of reasons why God does miracles, and you could talk for sermons and sermons on why God does miracles. But there were three things that came up in my heart as I was preparing this. It's a sign and a wonder. So many times it would say after seeing, you know, in the Bible it says, after seeing those signs and wonders, all who saw believed. Just like we're saying in that story, there's no explanation other than God. He does miracles because it's a sign and a wonder that point people back to God. He does miracles because it reveals his glory. John 2 says, and these were the first signs through which he revealed his glory. Miracles reveal his glory in our lives. He reveals his glory to our community. It reveals his glory to those who have not yet known Jesus. And I believe another reason he's a miracle worker is because he loves you. Because he loves his people. Matthew 14 says, he saw the sick and moved with compassion, he healed them. He loves you. He loves you. He doesn't want you going down the path that you had, that, you know, the enemy had you going on. He loves you. And his path is one of redemption. And he does miracles in your life because he loves you and he has compassion for his people. He has compassion and loves his people. And we see miracles come out of that. So church, I want us to start expanding our vision for miracles. You know, as I said before, we look at the Bible, look at our God. Look at some of the miracles he did. He caused the sun to stand still. Can you imagine the implications of this? I'm like, did time change? Did time change all around the world? You know, did it change ever? Did the dates change? What happened? Did that day just last longer? You know, all the things that happened. But I'm like, that's huge. He caused the sun. Broke every law of science, every law of how the world works and rotates and how time works, because God stepped in and he was in his power. He caused the sun to stand still. He saved the man through a belly of a whale, like we said with Jonah. He caused a few fishes and loaves to feed 5,000. He spat in someone's eye so they would be healed. He is a God who likes to do the extraordinary. Are you getting the picture here, church? When he does miracles, he doesn't do a little thing. He does a big thing. He does a statement that shows off his glory. He does the extraordinary. He does the extra. He's not a quiet little God that quietly does something here. He shows off his glory in all of his might for all the world to stop and see. He reveals his glory and goodness through his miracle working power. When you start thinking of these stories and actually think of what they are, I think, God, I'm limiting you by what I'm thinking when I come to miracles. When I think of miracles, you know, I'm limiting it down to just what I've experienced in my life and what I've seen with my own eyes. I'm like, Lord, build in me a hunger that you want to do miracles. Let me build in me a hunger and a vision and a faith to start seeing some of the miracles that you can do, God. To start seeing miracles that defy anything that should make sense, that defy anything that I've seen before. I want to start believing for miracles and for God to step in and do things beyond anything I could have imagined before. You know, his miracles can be controversial because it creates chatter amongst the enemy's camp. His miracle steps in and does a big thing. It disrupts what the enemy's doing. You know, it's not like, you know, you don't make heaps of friends when you go on this path with the world because it causes disruption. It causes, you know, it gets attention. He is a God of order and peace. It's not chaotic, but it's also not neat and doesn't fit into our natural world. He steps in and he does something great that stirs things around, stirs the community. So miracles are for today. In church, we're going to start expanding our vision. We want God to get given all the glory, and we're going to start expanding our faith and vision for what God wants to do. You know, I was studying this last night and listening to some songs, it came up that I'm like, if miracles aren't for today, then salvation isn't for today. Because salvation is a miracle. It's a dead spirit coming alive again. It's Jesus coming and turning me new. The greatest miracle ever. If I believe miracles aren't for today, then I can't say that miracle's for today. Salvation is the biggest miracle of them all. A dead spirit turning alive. So church, we are all miracles. We are all miracles. If you're saved by Jesus, you are a miracle. You are a miracle because your dead spirit that was destined for its punishment of sin has been changed and set free and set alive. And you've, as our pastor has been preaching, you've got his nature and DNA on the inside of you. That's a miracle. You are a miracle in work. You are a miracle, a walking miracle. You know, I love in Mark 16 where it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Jesus' final words to the world were saying, "Go in my name, and signs will follow you." Amen. Signs will follow you. Go, and as you've seen, go and do more. As you've seen me do, go and take this and do more. Because signs will follow you as you go out in my name. As you speak in my name, signs will follow, bringing glory back to God. So church, we're believing for miracles. We're believing for miracles. I want to talk about your story. If you're saved by Jesus, you are a miracle. You're a walking miracle. How does your story go? Let me tell you that if you're with Jesus, your story is one that he wants to be full of miracles. Your life to be full of miracles. You are a miracle. You know, I was listening to many of you might have heard Brandon Lake. He's a Christian singer. He's got an incredible ministry the past number of years. We sang some of his songs this morning. And I heard some of his story for the first time the other day when he was accepting an award. And he said, he writes songs about miracles. He said, because I am a miracle. I didn't realize that he said his mom had 6 miscarriages and believed the promise of God that God was going to bless her with a baby. And he said she clung to the faithfulness of God. She clung to the faithfulness, and by only his God's miraculous working power, she gave birth to Brandon Lake, who is now blessing the world, telling the world that he said, "I am a miracle." So God is a miracle worker. So he said, if I am a walking miracle, I'm going to go out and tell the world and bring what a miracle working God he is. You know, and he wrote a song. I encourage you to look at it later on. It's called Miracle Child. And there's a line in it. And it said, "You're the one who turns a dead end story to a living, breathing testimony." Yeah. You're the one who turns a dead end story to a living, breathing testimony. Church, what story is the world trying to tell you is a dead end? You know, is it your finances? Is it your relationships? Is it your calling? Is it your future? Is it your health, your emotions, fertility? What is it that the world is trying to tell you is a dead-end story? Well, I'm here to tell you that our God is a miracle-working power, and He turns dead-end stories, the dead-end story like when they came to the Red Sea and it was literally a dead end, He turned it into a living, breathing testimony. He turned it into a living, breathing testimony. There is a miracle for your supposed dead-end story. There is another ending to your story, one that is full of miracles. If we set our eyes and our faith and we say, God, we are willing to believe, we are willing to throw off what makes sense, we are willing to throw off our control, willing to throw off, you know, the getting the glory and the self-righteousness and saying, God, I'm willing to live in a story that only you could make true. I'm willing to live a life that only you could live, only you could do. Because we are willing, because your dead-end story has a living, breathing testimony at the end. You know, musicians, why don't you come and start to play? What kind of miracles did Jesus do? Because, you know, maybe the world will say, oh, well, that's something, you know, maybe there is miracles now, but, you know, only certain miracles. There's limits to what, you know, where He was going to do miracles in it, you know. And that's what they'll say. They'll find any way to explain it out. Well, I want to tell you what miracle you believe in for. Healing? Jesus healed the sick. Are you sick? Well, there's a miracle for you. Protection. How many times was there a storm in the Bible when everyone should have died? Are you believing for protection? Well, there's a miracle for you. Provision. He fed 5,000 people. He caused supernatural provision when they were fishing. And He said, you know, put the nets to the other side, and their boat almost collapsed because of the amount of fish. Well, so you're believing for provisional finances? There's a miracle for you. Come on, church. Are you believing for a restoration of calling? There were people in the Bible who were outcasts. People who were unclean, cut off from society. Mary Magdalene's, whose lives and circumstances and life choices only had one pathway forward. But God did a miracle and He turned their life around and reset callings and reset futures. So if that's for you, there's a miracle for you. Forgiveness and freedom. He forgave and set people free from the debts of their sins, from their sins. If you're needing forgiveness or freedom, there's miracles for you. Raised from the dead. He raised people from the dead. You know, Lazarus, dead for days, raised from the dead. If you need to see dry bones live, do you need to see life in a place of death? There's a miracle for you. Fertility, He opened dead wounds. Those who are infertile, He gave children. There's a miracle for you. He turned mourning into dancing. He restored joy where there was grief. There's a miracle for you. Come on, church. Come on, church. There's promised lands. Amen. Promised lands. He walked people into their promised land. There's a miracle for you. Fighting battles. He fought battles on people's behalf. He won battles supernaturally. There's a miracle for you. You know what? Time. He caused the sun to stand still so they could win their battle. Is there a deadline coming up that's overtaking you? Is time controlling you? There's a miracle for you. He works outside of time and space. Addictions, mental illness, anxiety, shame, hurts, whatever it is, there is a miracle for you. He's in the miracle-making business. Church, it's miracle days. And we're going to start expanding our faith and believing. Because our days are not a dead-end story, but I want to start believing for the miraculous and the miracle-working power that God wants to do. You know, you can take your seats for just a minute. Keep playing, church. I'm going to give a real quick summary because Jay is going to come back next week and share the full testimony, and there is so much more that we can share. But just a real quick summary. Jay, my brother, as we said, him, my dad, and Josh are up for a conference at the moment. They, you know, in the morning they had free time, so they went for a hike before the conference started. They weren't doing anything wrong. They were just hiking. They'd gone down a mountain to this waterfall area. They're at the top of a waterfall, just in the viewing area, not doing anything wrong. Jay was standing there, and suddenly he's at the top. Suddenly his foot slips, and Jay goes over the cliff, literally over the waterfall, down an 8-meter drop down to the bottom of the waterfall. So he's at the top, he goes straight over. He should have, he said, as he goes, he starts going like that. He said his head should have been first going down rocks, waterfall, not a big, very, very shallow water at the bottom. So just, you would have just hit rocks. His head should have gone down. It should have had a different story. But miracle number one was that as he was going down, he said he felt propelled to go back. And he said he started, like, his head came up and he started running down. And instead of going head first, he landed on his feet. Miracle number one, he hurt his leg, not anything else. And that could have ended very differently, but it didn't, because he's a miracle working God. Actually, it should have ended differently, but it didn't, because he's a miracle working God. Number one. Number two, he went down, his leg snapped. He was under there and he was, you know, clearly broken leg. I'll let them tell the story next week, but Josh and Dad and Jay just immediately went to prayer. He said it was completely disformed. It was going the wrong way. He said, as they're praying, he said, literally before their eyes. Now, my dad is not one to exaggerate. You know, if you know our Pastor Peter, he does not exaggerate. If anything, he'll underplay something to be sure, you know, of facts. He said he can't explain what he saw other than it just started straightening by itself. He said something that was the wrong way, as they're praying, starts straightening. He said, I can't explain it other than God just began working. Miracle number two. Miracle number three, they have to get a fire brigade, an ambulance to come and lift him out of the mountain because he couldn't walk, he couldn't get up, and he was stuck down there. So they come and lift him up out of the mountain. As the paramedics come, Jay was told, he said, what are you up here for? He said, we're up for a conference. We're meant to be going to a conference this weekend, and I'm going home to Melbourne on Sunday. The paramedics said, oh, you won't be going to any conference. He said, there's no conference for you this weekend. And he said, you're not going back to Melbourne for a long time. He said, this is going to require immediate surgery. You're going to be in the Sydney hospital for a long time. No conference, no going home. We prayed, they prayed, people in the church prayed. Miracle number three, I've lost count. Miracle number three, Saturday morning, Jay was at a conference. Tonight, Jay is coming home to Melbourne. They said, no, this is impossible. God said, nothing's impossible when his miracle working power. You know, there were so many other miracles that happened, like when he had to stand up and supernaturally strength went in his leg and he was able to stand and he had to get an x-ray. You know what? And then they said, it's going to need immediate surgery. And we said, no surgery in Sydney, Jesus, no surgery. And they came and the specialist came and he said, actually, we've re-examined everything. He said, it's okay to put a cast on and go back to Melbourne. I'm going to refer you back to Melbourne. And he said, you can look there if you need surgery. Now, we're still standing because we're saying, you know, that can be healed between now and when he gets down here. But he said, no surgery. I'm going to go put a cast on. You're free to go. And so you're free to go to the conference. So if you could put the photo up for me. This was Jay on Friday afternoon on the left. This was Jay on Saturday morning. That is the miracle working power of God, my friends. Now, Jay is coming next Sunday to tell the story of God's miracle working power, because God does miracle after miracle after miracle. So you know what, church? We're going to have a time of ministry. I'm going to invite our pastor up to share as well. But let me tell you a story. What is Jesus speaking over the end of your story? Whatever dead end you might be facing, let me tell you, Jesus has another end for that story, and it's one of miracles. Let me tell you a story. When Sarah's womb was dead, God said, you're going to father and be like a nation to Abraham. When Jairus' daughter was pronounced dead, God raised her from the dead. When Lazarus had died and been buried, Jesus commanded life into the end of his story. You know, stories in our church, when I was a baby, boiling water was poured over me and I should have been scarred for life. Angelic protection came in and supernaturally I was completely healed instantly. That little brother up there, Jay, his finger was cut off when he was a toddler and he should not have ever been able to recover. By the time he got to the doctor, they pulled it open and it was fully healed and it healed itself because God had stepped in and healed. Sam should not have been here. God told them that they will not have a baby. Sam is a living, breathing testimony of God's miraculous power. When they were said, God can't do it. When they were said, Chris's wrist broken, healed in the name of Jesus. Every person here has stories of God's miraculous power. So why don't you stand with us, church? If I could go through every person here, God has done miraculous in church. He is a miracle working God, not just for back in the Bible, but for today, and today more than ever before. And we're going to lift our faith and expectancy for what God is going to do. Breakthrough. We're going to see miracle working and break. breakthrough in this church. If he has called us here, he has a way through. He has a pathway through for breakthrough. If he's called us here, there's a path through the Red Sea. Whatever your dead end might be, there's a path through in the name of Jesus. There is a path of miracles, and there's a path that only God could make happen. There's a path that can't be explained by your intelligence, that can't be explained by your wisdom, that can only be explained by that was a supernatural touch of God. And that's what I'm praying me to see in this church. I'm praying me to see things that we say, that is impossible. That is impossible. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. And as he does that, his glory is shown to this region. As God does the impossible in our lives, his glory is shown to those around us. His glory is shown to this community. As God does the impossible in your life, your family see the glory of God. Your family see that God is above all, that God is the one and truly God, and he is the one that every knee should bow to. As God does the impossible and miraculous in your life, we will see revival. We will see revival. Amen. We will see revival in this region, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.